Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Kind of God, so did I give you a disc? I didn't. Amen. Waiting on God's okay to bring to you. And it was five precious things from 1st and 2nd Peter. I love it when the Bible does a lot of my homework for me. I don't even have to come up with very much because the Scripture itself, amen, the Scripture itself begins to just give me the things that I'm looking for right out of it without even having to think, now how can I put that in practical terms, or how can I phrase that in a way that will engage people. But it just comes right out of the Scripture itself. And when you find the word precious used in relation to different things in 1st and 2nd Peter, Peter is conveying something about values. And we're in a culture today where values are in flux. They are changing. The things that seemed important two decades ago doesn't seem as important today. Other things are taking precedent. One of the things that you're going to hear is about family values. Amen. You're going to hear a lot about that from conservative churches that still want to believe in the family unit, in the Judeo-Christian ethic, and a home being what it's always been. But that's changing. The climate is changing in the culture. We're in a real battle to maintain our identity as Christians in a constantly changing culture. And one of the ways we do it is to hold our values. The Bible said to hold fast the traditions that you receive of us. And for a while, tradition seemed to be an enemy because traditional churches didn't have the Spirit and they were not flowing in the Spirit. We're not talking about man's tradition. We're talking about the things that God handed down through the apostles to the church. So if you've got a problem with that word, then you've got a problem with Holy Scripture, because the Holy Scripture says, hold fast the traditions that you've received of us, knowing of whom you've received them. This didn't come from Paul's philosophical ideology. This came, amen, directly from the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what we have in the Word is the pattern for the husband-wife relationship, the pattern for the home, the pattern for the family. Amen. The revelation of the kingdom is what God has set for us to live our lives by, not what the culture has set. It's not something that can be edited. It's not something that changes to match the times. It's not a progressive revelation. Amen. It is a finished work. Amen. How many know God's final and finished work is the Scripture? If you don't believe that, then you're just going to be caught up in the flow and you'll go with anything that's out there. Amen. The Word of God is like an anchor, sure and steadfast for the soul. And when everything shakes around you, you can go back to the Word of God. Hallelujah. There's preaching, liberal preaching, that's changing the things that the Scriptures value. We've got a whole movement today that values the material world more than the spiritual realm or the kingdom of God. So you don't hear a message about the kingdom. Let me tell you the message that's going to precede Christ coming. It's not just preaching anything. It's a specific message. When this gospel of the kingdom, hello, of the kingdom is preached unto all nations, then shall the end come. Amen. It's about an invisible spiritual kingdom. It's about Jesus' rulership, His right to rule, His government. Can you say amen? Kingdom is not mystical in the sense of just because you can't see it. It's very real. And the Bible said that when miracles were taking place, Christ said, the kingdom is coming near to you. Amen. The gospel of the kingdom doesn't come with observation, the Scripture says. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not something just to gratify your flesh, something that is temporal. It's something that's eternal and spiritual in its nature. Can you say amen? But it is righteousness. It's a place where you can have a standing with God, hallelujah, like no one else can ever attain except through the blood of Jesus. And because of that right standing with God, you can have actual fellowship and intimacy with Him. Amen. So it's righteousness. It allows for that intimacy. And what is the next thing? It's peace. Because there's no enmity between you and God. The veil has been rent, and you can come in the very presence of God and find His embrace and acceptance. Not because you're perfect, but because a perfect sacrifice has been offered. Hallelujah. And through the veil of His flesh, we can enter into the very presence of God. Amen. So peace results from that. You know, amen, that you have peace with God because you can enter into His presence and He doesn't deny you access. That brings peace. Peace with God brings the peace of God to your heart. See, if you haven't got it settled that you've got peace with God, you're going to be hard-pressed to have the peace of God in your life. But if you've got peace with God, amen, oh, it's a powerful thing. You can have the peace of God because you know He's with you. You don't doubt His love. You don't doubt His presence with you. Whatever you face, whatever you go through, the devil can't scream, God don't love you and God's abandoned you. You won't listen. Even if you're tried and tested, you just won't listen. And because you have peace with God and the peace of God reigning, you have the joy of that fellowship. It's called joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not simply the Holy Ghost just zapping you on a Sunday morning. That only lasts through the Sunday morning service. And the strength you need from the joy of the Lord is something you need when you face the pressures of life in your family and your personal life and all your endeavors, amen, and all your trials and tests. And the Bible said that the joy of the Lord is your strength in the book of Nehemiah. And it's in the context of a people returning to God and repenting of their sins so that that fellowship can be renewed between them and God. And they begin to weep when they heard the word and they had drifted so far from it. They were showing deep contrition and repentance. And when God saw that immediately, He said, tell them to lift up their heads. Tell them to quit sorrowing. Hallelujah. When you repent, you don't go with your head down anymore. Repentance is not a negative message. It's a positive, powerful message about renewing intimacy with God. Hallelujah. And enjoying Him. How did we make it negative? Amen. Oh, God in heaven, if repentance allows me to get back in the presence of God, if I've lost that intimacy, then we should be zealous and repent as Christ taught. Amen. Have a zeal for it. We should embrace it. He said, go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. Celebrate for the joy of the Lord. This renewed relationship produces joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost means the Holy Spirit came to make manifest in our life the very presence of our Father and of Jesus Christ. So we could enjoy fellowship with Him. I talk to churchgoers all the time and know a very lot about, certain parables of Jesus, certain sayings of Jesus, very little about intimacy with God. And it's no wonder that church gets pretty boring when you're praising a God that you don't even have an intimate personal relationship with. Amen. No wonder we're watching our watch. My watch has stopped, by the way. Oh, but by the way, they bought me a big clock. Placed it right where I could see it. Hallelujah. Oh, but by the way, I never look at it once I start preaching. I get too caught up in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I enjoy the Lord. I enjoy the Lord. Amen. I don't want to ever lose the passion. Some people don't seem passionate about anything. You ever seen these people that win the lottery and they don't seem excited about it or enthused about it? Oh, my life won't change much. I'll probably just keep working the same job. I like my house. We might take a trip. They do not deserve it, do they? They don't deserve it. They just don't deserve it. Amen? Somebody ought to get it. They can't say, woo! Hallelujah. Amen? Sometimes I think the things of the Lord are similar to that. Amen. We've got the greatest riches. Don't wait to get to heaven to start enjoying the Lord and shouting victory. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. So all this preaching, amen, that just gives you the stuff. Amen. Listen, God said if you put my kingdom first, you'll get the stuff. Amen. And you'll have the joy, the real riches, the true riches. You'll have a true value system that even if you lost all the stuff, you'd still have the peace. If you lost all the stuff, it wouldn't touch your joy. I'm convinced people that only have peace and joy because of the stuff, if you take the stuff, there goes their peace with it. There goes their joy with it. Paul said, not only can you take my stuff, even if you take my life, you can't touch my peace and you can't take my joy. We used to sing it this way in the old days, back in the day. Hallelujah. Amen. The world didn't give it to me. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It is not something tangible in the physical sense. It's very tangible in the spiritual sense. It will outlast this world as we know it. So we don't even look at the things which are seen because they are temporal. We don't give them much attention. Hallelujah. But we do look at the things which are unseen, for they are eternal. Can you say, man? We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Everybody say joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost manifests the presence of Jesus. When He comes, He will testify of me. He will not speak of Himself. Beware of any ministry that promotes the Holy Spirit above Jesus Christ. Even, listen, the Holy Spirit has a high place of honor. But when He comes, He will not speak of Himself. He will speak of Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He comes to manifest Christ to us. To make Him real in our heart. The Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. By whom? By the Holy Ghost. This is not just about power. This is about a relationship with a person that the Holy Spirit makes possible. In fact, Christ said concerning the Holy Spirit coming, in the same breath He said, I will come to you. Literally in the Greek, it's I'll come back to you. You're watching me ascend to heaven when the Holy Spirit comes. I'm coming back to you. I can be spiritually manifest to you. In fact, He said literally, and the Scriptures teach literally, that He can be closer to you than if you walked with Him on the shores of Galilee. Because He comes to live within you. When they were separated from Him, they went to pieces. Can you say amen? Jesus isn't on board the boat. They're going to sink. There's chaos and panic till they see Him walk in the water. Amen. And when they get Him on board, there's a speaks to the sea, there's a great calm. Amen. It's all changed now. Amen. Jesus has come to dwell within us by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? He's come to live within us. I love my Master. People ask me why I do certain things at work, and I don't say because I'm Pentecostal or Baptist or Episcopalian or Presbyterian or you know, any other thing. I don't say it because I'm a churchgoer. I say it because I love my Master. I know Him. I serve Him, praise God, not them. That's why even if churches change, amen, I'm still going to follow Him instead of them. I didn't get in this thing because of them. I got in this because of Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And no matter what they decide, I'm still going to follow Him. They didn't die on the cross. They don't have saving power. They can't damn me and they can't save me. They can't excommunicate me. Because I don't go along with them. That's good to know. Amen. If you get in the kingdom, you can't be kicked out by anybody. Hallelujah. They can't kick you out of the kingdom. Hallelujah. They can kick you out of the Lions Club and the Civitan. Glory to God. And some denominations will give you the left foot of fellowship. Can you say amen? Many people have got the baptism of the Holy Ghost while preaching in a strict denominational structure, and they immediately let them go. We don't want you preaching anything like that in here. Amen. But one thing about the kingdom of God, you've got a lifetime membership. In fact, it goes beyond. And lifetime means eternal life. Can you say amen? Not just this life. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said we received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And everything else is shaking today. And there's a purpose for it. It's so that the kingdom people and the kingdom itself might be enhanced by all of this and proven that it is truly God's rule and God's domain in this earth. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken so that which cannot be shaken might remain. Can you say amen? Whereby we have been given a kingdom which cannot be moved. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Isn't that incredible? If the foundation don't shake, it don't matter what else shakes around it. Amen. Nothing's going to crumble. Nothing's going to tumble. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. Therefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. So I want to be kingdom-oriented because it's the gospel of the kingdom, the good news that the kingdom of God can come into your heart. And the kingdom of God is coming to this earth. Hello? Is the kingdom of God in you? Has to be if Jesus is the Lord of your life. Amen. But no man can call him Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I've heard the kingdom presented so many different ways. It's the rule and domain of a king, plain and simple, in any Greek lectionary, any Greek dictionary. It's the rule or the domain of a king. A kingdom is where a king reigns in full authority. Can you say amen? That's what a kingdom is. It's not some place where you use faith formulas to get what you want. It's a place where you bow to his lordship. You didn't hear me. I've heard so many what I call hyper-faith ministries and just trying to find faith formulas so we can get what we want. Not even what we need, but what we want. And they're oblivious to what the kingdom is all about. Absolutely don't have it. They're clueless. And I can't get over how anyone can miss the kingdom of God when it's the gospel of the kingdom that's going to bring Jesus back. Amen. He's not coming back to be a Kris Kringle. Amen. Just to come back to say, well, I'm here now. What do you want? I've discovered something about the Lord. If you put the kingdom first, he said, everything, your Father knows what you need. And I interpret that as what I need to be really fulfilled, what I need to be happy, what I need. You know, I'm not just talking about food and raiment alone, but going even beyond that. Amen. Christ came to give us life and that more abundantly, and that involves the kingdom. You know how I know that? Because the same scriptures tell us that a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things he possesses. In other words, if you're not happy in your heart, a house isn't going to do it for you. If you don't find happiness and peace within, there's nothing without going to do it. But we'll keep looking without. We'll be on the eternal quest for it. I'm so happy to be happy with what I have today. Godliness, contentment is great gain. In other words, if you've got Christ and you have a relationship with him that's satisfying and fulfilling, and you have food and raiment, you're supposed to be happy with what you have. Yes. Amen. Therewith be. Yes. Because we're not in competition with the world. Yes. Brother Vimble, what did you drive into the parking lot today? I drove a 93 S10 Tahoe with a 4.3 V8. And it is a blessing from the Lord. It runs like a scalded dog. If it had wings, it would fly. It is smooth. It is powerful. The air is cold. Woo! Of course, my wife drives the Buick. Buick Regal, it's an older person's car. Anyway, moving right along. but it's nice, and we don't worry about it anymore. Amen. It's white with gray interior. Woo! Amen. But I love it. Amen. It's fine. But I went to rent a truck, and the guy says, I got one sitting at home. It was $1,500. My goodness gracious, what a find. What a wonderful. I've needed a truck for so long. God bless me with a truck. Praise God. Now, I got 15 bags of mulch the other day. At Lowe's, and I threw it up in there, that red mulch, and I threw it up, and some of the bags busted. It's just fine. It's a good old pickup truck, runs like a charm, has a nice radio in it. My wife got me a radio. Praise God. Amen. Because when she drives it, she don't want none of these old, you know, she wants something nice, you know, nice. And you know, I threw it up in there, no problem. Now, I would have a real problem doing that in an Escalade. I would. I mean, who wants to put some nasty old stuff in the back of an Escalade? And if you're going to spend $60,000 for something, you don't want to scratch it up, mar it up. I don't really, you know, I'm not criticizing anyone with one. I'm just saying you probably don't haul a whole bunch of manure or anything in it. Can you say amen? That's what they used to use for fertilizer. Amen? Praise God. Let me tell you about the kingdom. Since we brought up the subject, amen, of manure, amen, let me relate it to the kingdom. Amen. You know what Paul said when he discovered the kingdom? amen, the joy of it, the peace of it, and the power of it in his life, amen, something that would outlast this world and outlast his trials and tests, amen, something that wouldn't shake when everything around him was shaking and everyone around him was shaking. You know what he said? He said the things, see, the values changed. Everybody say the values changed. I said the values changed when you discover the kingdom. Listen to what he said. He said the things that I once counted gain to me, I count them as but dung. Everybody say manure. Can you say amen? Listen to me. He said the things that the whole world thinks is top shelf has taken a whole different place and a whole different status. Amen. I count it as but dung that I might win Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Oh, that I might know Him. The fellowship of His suffering. Woo! And the power of His resurrection. The average church member hasn't even seen the kingdom. I'll tell you, you'll sell out for the kingdom. And won't look at it as a sacrifice. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a treasure hid in a field. When a man finds it, this is the seeker. I mean, this is rather the man who's really not a seeker of the pearl. Let me get this straight. Amen. This is not the seeker. This is the guy that discovers a treasure hid in a field. He's plowing a field. He thumps up against something. He thinks it's a rock and he says, oh man, I'm going to have to dig this rock out. But as he digs, he finds a treasure trove. He finds a chest. He opens it up and it's full of a king's ransom. Woo! And he's plowing a field. He doesn't own the field. But he knows who does own it. And he covers it back up real good. And goes to who owns it and said, what do you take for that field? He said, I'd like to grow me some taters out there. And and the guy says, well, I'll take this much for it. And he sells everything he's got to buy that field. Why does he sell everything he's got to buy that field? Because he knows there's a treasure in that field. See, when people discover the kingdom, wonder why missionaries go. If you ever get to see the point of the spear from Blockbuster, get it, rent it, watch it. Amen. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the value that the gospel is more important than even our life, our families. Hallelujah. To tell other people about Jesus. It's a value system you don't find in a lot of the so-called great ministries of today. Amen. But it's the value system that got the gospel to the world. Because if people wasn't willing to lay down their life, people would have never heard of Jesus in the foreign lands. Why did they do that? Why did they sell all just for this kingdom? Because they saw it. Amen. When a man finds it, when he finds it, when he discovers it, he sells everything that he has that he might possess it. Then there's the seeker of truth. He sought through everything. Amen. It's like looking for a pearl, a very rare pearl, seeking, diving deeper and deeper. Amen. And one day he discovers it. Amen. And he says, I have found it. I will give everything I have to possess this pearl of what? Everybody say values again. This pearl of what? Great price. What's it all about, this treasure, this pearl? Is it about anything in the physical material world? No, it is not. It's about a kingdom that is invisible, but tangible, unmovable, eternal, that produces a peace and a joy that nothing in the world can give you and nothing in the world can take from you. Woo! Death can't hurt it. Loss can't stop it. Put Paul in prison and beat him half to death. Amen. And he's still got the joy and peace of this kingdom in his heart. And he writes some of the most encouraging letters in the New Testament while he was in prison with a very uncertain future. When time came to die because he understood the kingdom, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered up. That word offered up is having to do with the drink offering where it was poured out to the last drop before the Lord. He left all because he knew something of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's a gospel with a value system that says Christ is more important than anything or anyone in this world. When a man finds it, he does what? He forsakes all because he's found something better than anything. Listen, folks, God's not asking you to give up something. He's asking you to receive something that makes everything else insignificant. How can you count but dung what the whole world thinks is top shelf? Paul said, because all that's going to pass away. But this is eternal. This is forever. Amen. If you take Brad Pitt's looks and his money, what's he got left? I'm losing my looks. And if things keep going like they are, the money is not going to last too much longer. But I'm going to tell you something. I've still got the kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The joy is still in my heart. The peace is still in my soul. What I've got, you can't buy with money. Bill Gates can't buy what I got. Amen. Bill Gates is going to come down one day and he's going to see an old man looking back, old rich man looking back in the mirror. But that old man is not going to take any of those billions with him. Not any of that's going to go, amen, when he leaves this world. But honey, when I leave, every soul that this gospel has touched is going with me. Every sound of this ministry that's touched anybody is going with me. Amen. What I have got cannot be taken. Hallelujah. If I die tomorrow, Sister Venable, all these years sown in the gospel is going home with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Big heavenly U-Haul is going to haul it all right up with me. Glory. So I want people at work to see the kingdom. I want them to see the kingdom. Christ said, you see the power of God in display. The kingdom of God has come near to you. That's where Satan isn't the ruling one. That's where Jesus is Lord. That's where cancer bows and tumors shrink and the blind see and the lame walk. Hallelujah. This great King is manifesting His rulership. Hallelujah. That's where the human heart bows to Him. And the life has changed because we've discovered something better than sin. Just serve Him because we fear going to hell. We serve Him because we see the kingdom for what it is. Righteousness. Peace. Woo! What price peace? What price peace? Ex-hitman for the mob said I could rent a $10,000 a night penthouse suite in a hotel in New York City. I could pick up a beautiful woman, have champagne, filet mignon delivered to my room. But I couldn't buy 1 minute's peace. And he went into a small gospel meeting in a double-wide trailer they were using for a church. And he met Jesus Christ. And the kingdom came, not just near him, but into his heart. And the peace that all the money in the world couldn't buy came in. The forgiveness that released his soul from guilt, amen, set him free. That's the kingdom stuff. Honey, it's better than silver or gold. How many know that's better? It can't be bought. It's not marketable. How can we even relate it to anything like that? So I still haven't got past. Every time I mention who switched the price tags and we start talking about values, I hardly get to the precious things of 1st and 2nd Peter before it's time to stop. How many are interested in the kingdom, since that's the gospel that's going to be preached? Not just anybody's take on it or some variant of it. It's specific. When this gospel, this whole body of truth, know the specific word concerning the kingdom of God, when it is preached into all the world, then shall the end come. Rediscovering the truly precious things. One of the leading Anglican theologians of the last century, the Anglican church is in turmoil right now because they've got to choose between God's word and the compromise that's out there. Several million people are going to have to make a choice about homosexual ministers and homosexual marriage, and they're choosing right now. And there's already a division. It's a deep division, and there should be. Anytime the Bible and what people decide, it comes into play, there should be division. Can you say amen? Should be deep division. Amen. We should be deeply divided when truth is at stake. Everybody say we should be deeply divided when truth is at stake. If it isn't true, we should never have a division because we can just do anything we want. But if this is absolute truth, we should be deeply divided. Amen. I like the preacher that went to a very conservative church, and he says, well, I don't want to be dogmatic today in my delivery. And everybody just thought, he's one of these liberal preachers. He said, I want to be bulldogmatic. Amen. Well, there are certain things I'm bulldogmatic along. And there's a guy that I work with, and we'll get into a conversation, and I'll be answering a question. And he'll bring up, well, why couldn't it be? Well, why? And I get very passionate about what I believe. And then, you know, we went through these things, and I thought, well, maybe he's going to back off. And he said, Rev, don't pay any attention to me. He said, I was raised in church, whether you know it or not. And he said, I gave my Sunday school teachers a fit because I always ask questions that put people on the spot. He said, that's just the way that I am. But he said, it's so good, though, to hear someone who knows what they believe. Because he's always speculating, what if, and thinking, and just to meet somebody that's closed-minded. Narrow-minded. Straight is the gate, and narrow the way that leads to eternal life. Listen, I have met Jesus. You don't understand, folks. I didn't just buy into someone's religious ideology or philosophy, amen, or even theology. This is more than theology to me. The reason I believe the theology, amen, the scriptures are correct, is because I met the Master, and He changed my life. Hallelujah. I don't pray to a mystical God that someone has described to me, but a personal Savior that I know and love. Hallelujah. Jesus is real. I told you last week about the little girl, for you that weren't hearing, for the new tape, that she's in the hospital with palpitations or something, and her mother takes her in the emergency room, and the nurse, before the doctor gets there, says, honey, I want to listen to your heart. And she's trying to assuage her fears, and she takes her stethoscope, cold stethoscope, and she's going to put it in underneath her little garment. And she says, listen, says, let me listen. I want to see if Barney's in there. And she said, Barney's on my underwear. Jesus is in my heart. I like that. When Jesus is in your heart, then you read the Bible. Amen. And it's not speculation. It's His Word. And the Holy Spirit comes, and He takes it and He makes it real within. And you don't check your brain at the door. It's just that your mind is renewed. It's a truth that is absolute. It's something our culture don't even allow absolute truth. Amen. Unless you're a Muslim or a Buddhist. It's only for Christians that you can't claim absolute truth. Everyone else can. No one has a problem with it. When Christians do, then we're messed up. Because it's the Christian gospel that Satan hates. Because there's one God and one mediator between God and man. And He has a specific name. His name is Jesus. Can you say, amen? No man can come to the Father except by me. Amen. Some people say he shouldn't say things like that. It's politically incorrect. Well, if it's true, it doesn't matter. Amen. In that case, 2 and 2 are 4 is politically incorrect, because we just said something absolutely. We're in a culture that said nothing is absolute. 2 and 2 is 4. I'm sorry. Amen. It's not 5 and it's not 3. It's 4. Jesus is Lord. I don't see the difference. Can you say amen? Amen. They interviewed one great preacher I told you recently on Larry King, and I'm praying for him. I'm not against him. I'm just saying he did not defend the faith when he asked, well, what about the people that don't believe on Christ? And he said, I'm going to let God deal with that. No, God's dealt with it. God has dealt with that. Come on, what's your Bible say? I mean, is it authority? But it isn't. We need to tear it up and go find another book. Amen. Get rid of Jesus and find someone who will fit into our culture. Oh, by the way, there's one coming that's going to fit like a glove into this culture. There's a world church coming that is going to not only embrace the world is going to embrace it. Remember the words of C.H. Spurgeon. He said, be sure that the church that the world loves is the one that God abhors. Can you say amen? Listen, God has put an enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And that enmity is not going to change. Can you say amen? Well, But this one guy, he had the audacity to say, I don't really know. I don't want to talk about it. I don't deal with those kind of things. But he finally got a guy on there, amen, that said, yes, Jesus is the only way to God. He said, and then he quoted what Jesus said about it. And then he said, isn't that a prideful, boastful thing to say? He said, not if it's true. Larry King needs to know. The listening audience needs to know. Amen. We're saved because of the blood of a sacrificed lamb. Not a mini road to God theology, but one Savior who came and shed His innocent blood. That's the faith. And that's the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this gospel of the kingdom, when people quit preaching the kingdom, once they start veering from the cross and Christ on it and His rule and domain as we receive Him into our heart, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Once we move away from the kingdom, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness and all these things shall be added. Don't seek the things, seek the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. Once we veer, then we keep right on going. There's nothing to stop us. What centers us is the gospel of the kingdom of God. That means the lordship of Jesus. That means He's Lord and Savior, not Savior and think about to what extent you're going to bow to Him. No wonder there's so many unsurrendered lives and unsatisfied souls in church because He isn't Lord. The kingdom hasn't come until He is. But bowing to this King releases you from sin's grip. Releases you from guilt and fear. Provides peace and joy. And joy in your heart becomes the strength of your life. We actually, the Scripture said, joy in God through Jesus Christ. We don't know Him at a distance. We know Him up close enough to have personal relationships with Him. And it's a joy, not a job. Anyway, William Temple in the last century, listen to what he said in the last century. Now, I'm not talking about the 1900s, the 1800s. The world as we live in it today is like a shop window in which some mischievous person has stolen overnight and rearranged all the price tags. So the cheap things have high price tags, while the really precious things or price low. Go to Children's Hospital, Tampa General. Go to the Children's Ward in any hospital, St. Jude's, anywhere. And find a mom with the most beautiful little daughter or son you ever saw. Shaved head, undergoing chemo. Tell her that she can have her child well, go back to wherever she lives, no matter what kind of debts have been incurred from the medical bills, but you can have your child healthy and home today. Now you can have that house, that automobile, and these riches. What do you think the value system that mom's going to? You think she's going to have to think about that? No. Because all that stuff isn't what's really important. Amen? I'm telling you, the gospel of the kingdom is not going to put anything in this world above your eternal soul. It's not going to imply in any way that anything in this world can take the place of Jesus in a relationship with Him. Not the gospel of the kingdom. It's not going to imply that God is just there to give you stuff alone. He will provide your every need. And some people, I believe, will be rich, but not everyone. Hello? And if you believe that, should have prayed more before you walked in here today. You missed it this morning. God sure didn't send you to me. When the gospel of the kingdom becomes a gospel of the flesh, a gospel of this world, gospel of the immediate gratification, the gospel of greed and avarice, the gospel of just the material world, no one has discovered the treasure that's preaching it. Because if anyone's found that treasure, it takes them beyond that. Amen. Can you say amen? Isn't it good to get beyond that? Brad Pitt made a statement. I can't read it, but, you know, he won the most. Right now, he's really publicized the perfect couple, Brad and who? Angelina and Brad are the perfect couple. You know, I mean, yeah, they're the ideal. But you should read what Brad Pitt has to say. He's saying, I don't know what it is. I don't know how to get it, but I know I haven't found it. People see me and they think he's got it all, and they're very wrong and they're very mistaken. It's his own words recently. Because he knows how everybody's looking at him. Like, if I was him, his looks, his money, his fame, his woman, I'd have it all. And Brad Pitt says, I don't know what it is, this all. And this is supposed to give you, but I haven't found it yet. You know what he's looking for? What we're supposed to be representing. More than houses and land and cars and beauty and wealth. The kingdom of God. It's not meat and drink. It's not for the instant gratification of the flesh. But it is righteousness. It is peace. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You understand enjoying the Holy Ghost is more than just a shout on Sunday. It's a relationship with God that you follow through, that you live in, and enjoy. I like to put on praise music and just enjoy Him. Sometimes I get to work and I sit in the parking lot and I'm not done. And I watch my clock and I think, how long can I sit here and still make it on time? Maybe if I run in. So sometimes I sit in the car too long and I go running in. And they said, boy, you know, but sometimes people must see me sitting out there. Just enjoying the Lord. It's got to go beyond just church. I can't just do this on Sunday morning. Amen. Sometimes it's easier to do it by myself, depending on the Sunday and who's present. Some people put the brakes on Sunday morning. Just me and Jesus, ain't no brakes. Hallelujah. Only thing is time constraints. And I want to go into work loving the Lord and being loved by Him. And I want them to know the joy of Jesus. I want them to know that. I want them to see the oldest man on my crew. I am now becoming the oldest guy on my crew. There's no one older than me that does what I do. And I watch young ones come in and drop, give up. Just getting, and I'm still going. I'm not saying that boastfully. I'm just saying God, the joy of the Lord. If it wasn't for the joy of the Lord, I'd drop too. Amen. Fact is, I'd drop this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the joy of the Lord, the joy of a relationship with Him, the kingdom provides a righteousness. Amen. A place where you and God are reconciled so you can have fellowship with one another. Amen. And that fellowship is sweeter than anything in this world. I'm telling you. Amen? The greatest buffer against sin and temptation is simply getting deeper into a fellowship relationship with Him until it begins to satisfy your soul. Hallelujah. Oh, so many religions are unsatisfactory to the soul. That's why they're subsidizing with so many other things other than Christ. Amen? But true religion is all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? We won't go any further. Let me give you four things that we need to be doing. Three things, rather. The great task of the church, which is more urgent than ever, is number one, to define what those really precious things are. We need, through the way we live and our values, to let people know what's really important. Amen? Amen? I make no apology for saying Jesus should be more important than any relationship in your life. He should be everything. Does that take away from my wife? No, that's what gives her confidence that when I'm late, I'm witnessing and not down at the no-tell motel. Can you say amen? Isn't it better to think someone may be lifting up Jesus than stepping out on you? The world's going to pull you to step out. Some psychologists are going to tell you it's good for your marriage. I've never seen a marriage yet it's good for. I know it wouldn't be good for mine. After God and Pamela got through with me, believe me, no good would come out of that. Pamela would send me to heaven, and God slapped me when I got there. So no way that good is going to come out of that. Can you say amen? So the world can't tell you. But listen, listen, Dr. Phil, he's a great guy. He says some good things, but not God things. He doesn't understand or appreciate the kingdom. We have the opportunity, amen, of seeing the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to define what those really precious things are. Number two, we need to teach them to our children. We need to let them know what's important, the way we live and what our values are. We need to show them. Praise God. I want my boys to know, my boys, my 40 years old and my 30-something and my 40-something boys, I want them to know, amen, that Dad is not just some strict religionist, amen, that lives in some box somewhere. Dad is a free man serving a God that he loves out of a heart of joy. Can you say amen? I want to see a dad that's able to laugh with them, play games with them. Praise God. I get online some nights and hook up with my son, amen, and we play games, hallelujah, amen. And they're military simulated games, and I kill people. I hate to admit it, but I do. It's war, hallelujah. And a guy from Argentina came on because it's a World Wide Web and we're playing online and my son's on there and he said, Doofus D Dog is my daddy. That's my moniker, Doofus D Dog. Somebody said the other night, says, I got you three times. You didn't get me once. I said, did you read my name? They don't call me Doofus for nothing. But anyway, the guy from Argentina, a real good friend of my son, Matthews, he said, he's your daddy? Matt said, yeah. He said, but watch out. He'll shoot anything that moves. And we laugh and we have fun. I want my son to know that serving Jesus is great. Doesn't put me in a box. Doesn't take my fun away. I had a guy at work pushing 40, and he heard about me enjoying video games with my son, me pushing 60, and he said, boy, he said, I can't imagine my daddy doing that. And I thought, well, your daddy needs to meet the Lord. Your daddy needs to get in the kingdom. Your daddy needs to get some joy in his heart. Can you say amen? All this stuff that seems carnal, it's not carnal. It's showing my kids that the joy of the Lord is my strength, that I can be happy and not sin, that I can be that I can be whole, hallelujah, that I can enjoy life and have it more abundantly without sinning, except for killing a few hundred people each night. They're not real. They're not. And you respond. There's resurrection here. Amen. You respond in about 5 seconds and you can go again. Praise God. They all get up in the end. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. It's a violent thing. I understand. Somebody's going to hear this. And please, don't let your kids play violent games. I'm not a kid. Anyway, moving right along. And I have never played that game and wanted to come down and shoot anyone. I wanted to shoot people long before that game came out. But I didn't, because I'm a Christian. Oh, no, I'm not going to preach anymore. Will you join hands? I love you today. Don't let your kids play violent games. Kids are highly impressionable. This is me and my son, the military sin. We live in a world that needs revival. We need a nation that needs revival. We're in a war that we can only win with God's help, not with more military might or more military spending. If I had a son or daughter, dad, mother, sister, brother, good friend, acquaintance, in Iraq right now, I would be deeply troubled and concerned. We'd better get hold of a message that brings God's blessing and God's help to a nation, not just more wealth to our personal life. The jihad is real. The holy war is real. It's not going to go away because of westernizing a nation. It's steeped in a religion that is actually filled with violence against everyone who doesn't believe. Christian faith is filled with love, even for those who slay us. What a contrast between the kingdom of God and the religions of man. What a sharp, distinct contrast. Faith is under attack. Got good news for you. It will survive the attack. It's not the first time. It's not the last time. Will some be shaken? Absolutely. Everything that can be will be by whatever causes the shaking. So that what? That which cannot be shaken might remain. When the dust settles, a church that has been founded by Christ Himself will remain. Can you say amen? Because a stranger, they will not follow. We've received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That this church will grow because God is on the move among this people. Hallelujah. I will heal cancer in the bone. I will cause growths to shrink. I will cause those that are demon-possessed to be set free and set at liberty. I will cause those mentally oppressed to come out of that prison of darkness. There's none above me. Exalt my name. Seek my kingdom. And the King will come unto thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah. 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 There's no king like our King. No God like our God. Hallelujah. Who has a God like our God? That's more than a sign on the wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you join hands? We're going to pray. And it's hard to leave services like this. They're so open. Ended. Hallelujah. People are being healed in them already, and more people are going to be healed, and some people are being attacked physically. Don't let that stop you from believing. That is normal stuff for all of us. Hallelujah. For the devil to fight the very thing that God is establishing. Let me tell you this from one man's quote, and we'll go home. And because he knew God so well, and he knew the power of this great God, he said an ant, an anemic ant on crutches, would have a better chance stopping a stampeding herd of 500 elephants than the devil would of stopping God. Now, honey, that's victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many believe that to be true? Well, the Da Vinci Code ain't going to stop the truth. The so-called Gospel of Judas isn't going to change the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Writings from the time, from speculators and false teachers, amen, will not change the truth that God has kept for us and brought to us, amen, down through the years. The most scrutinized attack book in the world is the Bible, and yet it stands. And God still confirms the words that are written between these pages. If a lost man comes to Christ, God will save him today. Hallelujah. There's still healing for the church. Hallelujah. And this is a whole other message, but let me just prophesy this under the anointing. When they preach the gospel, and now we know what gospel they preach, the gospel of the kingdom. Can you say amen? God working with them. God said when they preach the gospel that I sent them to preach, I am going to come in league with them wherever it is preached. Praise God. It wasn't a social gospel, a political gospel. It was spiritual. Amen. All the way. It changed things socially and politically, but it was a spiritual gospel. And let me tell you something. He said the Lord working with them, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. And the Lord working with them, confirming the word, confirming the word, confirming the word, confirming the word. Paul said, I didn't come to you in with the enticing words of man's wisdom, declaring unto you the gospel. There's no way that just being a great communicator of it is enough. I came to you in a demonstration of spirit and with power. Peter put it this way, we preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Can you say amen? God gets involved. Amen. Listen, when this gospel is preached, hell gets involved because all of hell opposes this gospel and the people that are held captive. Listen, if the devil gets that involved to hold people back, God wants to get involved to get them set free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! This is more than an intellectual persuasion. This is a spiritual deliverance that takes place and spiritual illumination. Hallelujah. And God's involved in it. And that's why when we ricochet gospel in a locker room, amen, we're penetrating the darkness. Hallelujah. And people, there's a man, pray with me for him. He's never been in a church in his whole life. He's in his late 30s and he's never been inside a church, but he's hearing the gospel because his locker is three down from me. Hallelujah. What a coinkadink. God sets it all up. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Will you join hands? We're going to have church in this little old place. Prepare your hearts in faith to believe and receive that I have promised you. Stand upon my word and declare it. Speak it boldly, saith the Lord. For it is in the bold declaration of my word that I confirm, saith God. Yea, know that I am with you as sure as I was the early church. When they were under pressure, I moved with mighty signs and wonders. And yea, the day has not changed, saith God. The pressure is upon my church, and the faith is threatened even this day. It's not your threatening. Yea, it's the faith that is threatened, saith God. Therefore, saith the Lord, I will defend my word. I will defend my name, exalt my word in my name, that I may defend it in my power, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I expect to see things I've never seen in my life as a Christian in these last days. I expect to see it, hallelujah, with my eyes, to see the glory of God and the goodness in the land of the living. Join hands. We'll try to quit for the fourth time. I don't preach long. We just have a long ending.